Thought that I may have worn some out with that lengthy lesson this morning. Some said it wasn't as long as what I thought, but you're here again this evening, so evidently you didn't mind it that much. But I appreciate all the encouragement along those lines of the sermon this morning and the good feedback that I received on that sermon. You know, any Bible topic that we could choose to talk about is a needed topic, because we need to know what the Bible says on a host of things and preach only what is taught in the Bible. Have you ever been told, whether it was in your work or maybe your parents told you along the way or someone else that expected some things of you, and they gave you the instructions and they said, do this with no exceptions. You ever been told that before? I want it done this way, in this manner. This is the way I want it done. No exceptions regarding that. We know that works in a lot of areas. But did you know when it comes to the Bible that there are some exceptions, even to the things that the Bible says sometimes? Now, you might think about that for a moment. That might catch you to the side. And you may say, you know, I've never thought about, or it just doesn't sound right, that there are exceptions to what the Bible says. But you know, there are some exceptions to some statements made in the Bible. I want us to think about tonight, briefly, about some Bible exceptions. And I ask you the question, do you believe or think that there are some exceptions to the statements made in the Bible? You may say, well, maybe. Or you may say no, or you may say yes, or you may say, well, it just depends. Let's think about some exceptions. You know, most rules have exceptions. We understand that in our workplace, just in life in general, that with a lot of rules, there come some exceptions to those rules. Well, there are some Bible exceptions, and I want us to think about a few of them. The first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of Romans, chapter 3. And all of these references that we're going to look at, you're familiar with. You may never have thought of them along the lines of having some exceptions, but there are exceptions to the things we're going to look at. Well, it wasn't that way. First of all, I won't stand before you and say it, but I'll give you the book, chapter, and verse for the exceptions to these statements. In Romans chapter 3, as Paul is writing to Christians at Rome, he says in verse 23, of which you're very well familiar, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If I were to ask you the question, are there any Bible exceptions to that statement, how would you respond to that? Well, he just wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, keep in mind that the context of Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3 is relative to the Jews, the Gentiles. He's saying the Gentiles were sinners. They have sinned. The Jews are no better. They received the law and they sinned. And then in chapter 3, God had concluded all under sin. But he makes a statement that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's an exception to that. And we find the exception in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 21, and some other verses we'll look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Bible exceptions. For he that is God hath made him that is Christ. God hath made Christ to be sin for us. Now watch him. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet what? Without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus knew no sin. And in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, again, talking about Jesus, verse 21, for even hereunto were we called, or were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Now watch verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And so when we read Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned, yes, all Jew and Gentile have sinned, but there's an exception to that, that even though Jesus was a Jew, He did not sin. Right? We agree on that? That Jesus knew no sin? And so there's some exceptions. Not that I made up. Paul wrote that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible gives us the exception to that. By the way, if you were to look the word accept or accepted up in the Bible, you'd find that it occurs many times. And so we're just simply looking at some Bible exceptions. But there's another one that I want you to think about. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I'll just write these points up as you turn there. Romans 3, 23, and then Hebrews 9, 27. You know that reference too. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Well, are we going to die? It's appointed unto men once to die. The Hebrew writer penned, but there are some exceptions to that. You say, well, how are there exceptions to death? But you know that there are individuals in the Bible that the Bible mentions did not die or that will not die? Come with me to the book of Genesis and notice these Bible exceptions. Genesis chapter 5 and in verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now you could read that verse and not have a whole lot of understanding of what he's talking about. But in light of what the Hebrew writer penned concerning him, in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 5, you understand more about what he's talking about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, notice what the Bible says. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And so, it's appointed unto men once to die, but there's an exception to that, and that is Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Well, he's not the only one. In 2 Kings chapter 2, you should think about some exceptions to that. And then verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on, that is, Elisha and Elijah, and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And then another exception I want you to think about relative to Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27 is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice, begin with verse 51. Paul writes and says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. This 1 Corinthians 15, 51. We shall not all sleep. Now, sometimes the Bible uses that word sleep as a metaphor for dying. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter, or 1 Thessalonians rather, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but he says we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. So when this corruption or corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So Hebrews 9:27 says that all is gone to die, or it's appointed unto men to die. But what of those that are alive when the Lord comes? He says they'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And so again, you see Bible exceptions, but there are some other ones I want us to think about for just a moment. Come with me to Mark chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. Mark 10, 11 and 12. Jesus was asked about, was it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And in Mark 10:10, the Bible says, "And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." Now that's pretty straightforward. It's a pretty simple concept. But I ask you, is there any exceptions to that? Well, if you want to pick up an exception to that, you'd have to come back to Matthew's account. In Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 8 beginning, he saith unto them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife," that's what he just, we found it written in Mark's record, Mark 10. But what's this exception? "Except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." The exception is when a person puts away their unfaithful spouse and marries another, they've not committed adultery. That's the exception that the Lord gives. By the way, it's the only exception. But I want you to see that point. Bible exceptions. There's a rule that's laid down. The rule has been from the beginning, as we pointed out in many sermons and Bible classes, that a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. A man and a woman joined together by God Himself for a lifetime. The exception to that, we just read in Matthew 19 and in verse 9. Malachi 2:16, "For the Lord God of heaven hateth putting away." In Matthew 19:6, "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Get the point on these Bible exceptions? They're pretty simple. But there's another one that I want you to think about. This one comes from the book of Matthew, as you're already in Matthew, chapter 28. In verse 18, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus have all authority? Does Jesus have all power? Sure He does. He just said that He did. All have been put under His feet. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and we'll find that out. Said, "All authority or power has been given unto me." Now notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Let's back up to verse 20. "Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead." That is, God wrought in Christ when God raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. "And hath put all things under His feet." That is, God put all things under the feet of Jesus. "Gave Jesus to be the head over all things, to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." You know there's an exception to that? Did you know that? Come with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we'll notice that exception. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 27. "For He hath put all things under His feet." We just read that in Ephesians 1. 1 Corinthians 15, 27. God hath put all things under the feet of Jesus. Now watch this. "But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is," that He is what? "Accepted, which should put all things under Him." In other words, all things were put under the feet of Jesus, but there was an exception to that. You know who the exception was? God. God put all things under the feet of Jesus except Himself. That's what the passage just says. And so I'm just pointing out again that there are exceptions to the things that we're looking at. Not exceptions that I or that Blaine or that Thomas or any of these other men came up with. What do we say the Bible talks about? We just have to read to get them. Bible exceptions. And so it was accepted, made manifest that God has accepted which did put all things under Him. Then verse 28, when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. I like 1 Corinthians 15. It's a good chapter to read, and I'd encourage you to read it and be familiar with it. And so Jesus has all authority. It's been given to Him. All things are put under His feet. He's been given the head of all things to the church, which is His body. But God was the exception to that. But there's some other Bible exceptions that I want us to think about. And this one comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is a vivid picture of growing old. Right? Talks about what happens to these earthly tabernacles as we go through this earthly pilgrimage. And it's a vivid picture and another chapter that we need to be familiar with. I'm looking out of this audience, and we have a good number in this congregation of mixed ages. And you can find yourself in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, regardless of how old you are. Notice verses 6 and 7. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Now someone says, well, what's verse 6 talking about? Well, in light of what verse 7 says, verse 6 is talking about death. Because that's the point at which the dust will return to the earth as it was. And the latter part of verse 7, the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And so what happens to this body when the Spirit separates from the body, which is death, by the way? It goes back to the dust from which it was taken. And it's been that way since man rebelled against God and sinned against God, and physical death passed upon men. Genesis chapter 3. And in verse 19, God says to Adam, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. We've got a lot of examples in the Bible of that very thing taking place. Remember in John chapter 11, when a dear friend of the Lord's passed away, Lazarus, and Jesus had feelings for Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. He loved them. And He traveled to where they lived, to their abode, and ended up going to the tomb of Lazarus. He said, roll away the stone. Remember what Martha said? John 11 and in verse 39. Lord, He's been dead for 4 days. By this time, He stinketh. Right? They understood that the body will see corruption, that it will decay. You know, it doesn't take a long time for that naturally to happen. In fact, I've been told that as soon as the body dies, it begins to break down. I've seen that firsthand. I worked numerous years with funeral homes and the coroner's office and went out to various different places to retrieve bodies that had been dead, and some of them for weeks in the hottest part of the summer. I can tell you that, yes, the body will see corruption, and yes, the body does stink when it dies and it sees corruption. And the Bible tells us that the body is going to decay and return to the dust from where it was taken. But there's an exception to that. Jesus is the exception. Come with me to the book of Psalms, or book of Psalms, and we'll look at the 16th. Psalm. Psalm 16 and in verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see to see what? Corruption. And that's talked about over in the book of Acts chapter 2. When Peter on the day of Pentecost was talking to the Jews about Jesus, he says in Acts 2 and in verse 24, that God raised him up, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer or allow thy Holy One to see corruption. Are there any exceptions to Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7? You just read about one. And that was Jesus, that Jesus was not left in the grave and he didn't see corruption. But he was raised to die never again and ascended to heaven where he sits on the right hand of God, reigning as Lord of heaven and earth. We ought to thank God for that. Reigning over his kingdom, the church, of which we're blessed to be members of. Two more Bible exceptions before we close the sermon. This one comes again from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. The exception is found even in this verse. We get the point and the verse, or the point and the exception in this one verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Those that have handouts, you notice I put on there that house building is in vain. Except the Lord is the one doing the building. Everything must be done by the authority of God. We make that point over and over, and we'll continue to make that point because it's important. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks unto God and the Father by or through Him. In Matthew 15, 13. Every house which my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Remember that passage? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Be careful about how we're building. And make sure that all things are by the authority of Christ. One more point. This one comes from Luke chapter 13. You're very familiar with that. We use that nearly every Sunday. You know what it says. But let's back up to verse 1. Get a better sense of the context. He says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. This is Luke 13:1. Then verse 2, and Jesus answering said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, now watch this. If you were to leave out the exception, the verse would say, I tell you no. But ye shall likewise perish. You know what the exception says? Except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Verse 5, I tell you no. But except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Now, I could tell you this evening, which is very well true, that except you obey the gospel of Christ, heaven is not going to be your home. It won't be my home. Except I obey and be faithful unto the end. Throughout the Bible, God has expected His people to turn from their sins and come unto Him. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And in Acts 17:30, God winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because we'll perish if we don't. I hope that this little list of Bible exceptions has been of value to you. You could take some others and add to these. I told you, if you look the Word up, you'll find that it occurs numerous times, more than 7 points you could get for a sermon like this. If you're here this evening and never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you've got to do what they did in Bible times to do that. In order to become a Christian, exactly what they did. Nothing short will make one a Christian. Nothing more will make one a Christian. And I don't read any exceptions to that in the New Testament, do you? Someone once asked me, do you think that God will make an exception come the judgment day? I don't know how you'd handle that. I'll tell you what I said. Whether or not God's going to make an exception is His jurisdiction. My job as a preacher is to tell you what the book says. The book says in order to become a Christian that you must hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent of your sins like we just talked about, Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. And be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. Maybe you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord. You're not faithful as you should. You want to come home and be restored. God is willing and ready to pardon. You repent of those things, make confession of them. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.